Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you're staying dry. Hope your place of business or residence is not taking the power hits that we are this morning. Been a little crazy. So stay safe out there, especially if you're up driving. And we will try to keep you informed, entertained, and safe until 10 a.m. today. My name is Sean Pendergast.
Are we in danger of losing power?
Well,
we have the generator.
Yeah, we're okay, but our Wi-Fi took a hit for a little while before the show. I was getting a little nervous we weren't going to have computer access.
That's why you stay off the internet, Sean.
Okay? Yeah.
You go get your paper copy of the Houston Chronicle,
yep,
and you prep for the show that way.
Spread it out across the table and just start picking box scores out and just reciting the box scores.
Never mind that there are thousands upon thousands of young teenage wannabe stat nerd Seths out there,
mm-hmm,
that will tell you exactly why. The important thing that stat nerds will do, Sean, is tell you why, no, Odorizzi's performance wasn't all that good. And then they'll also turn around and tell you why the Orioles are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The key is to always be saying the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Odorizzi looks great. Dusty Baker pulled him after five innings, because that's what Dusty Baker does, right? Always pulling pitchers early. That's
it. Says you.
It's actually the exact opposite of what his calling card was before he came to Houston. But of course, last night, Sean, as I take over your job and recap the Astros.
Yeah, fire away, man. I'm gonna go get a drink.
The Astros had. I've been off the air for a few days.
I know. You got a lot of pent up words.
Yep. The Astros had a multi-pitcher no-hitter going.
It did.
And then Brandon Bielak, of course, came
in.
Nice to meet you.
Did you stay up for Brandon Bielak tossing the no-hitter and the shutout away in the eighth inning?
No, I don't.
I
don't let Mother Nature dictate my sleep schedules, mm-hmm, you son of a bitch.
Yep.
Not you, Sean. I'm talking.
No, no. I knew
Mother Nature being the son
of a bitch. I knew you meant Mother Nature. Yeah. So if you're wondering, as you can probably tell, the Astros did win last night. The game started an hour later than it should have. It went another hour longer than it should have with a second rain delay. But the bottom line is, Seth, 10-2, they won 17 out of their last 21 now. Best record in the American League. When you left last week before you took your couple of day vacation, your hiatus, the Astros were welcoming the Chicago White Sox to Minute Maid Park, and the White Sox had the best record in baseball. When they left, the Astros had taken the best record in baseball, or not in baseball, in the American League. I'm sorry, in the American League, from them. And now this is nice, man. This is you go from the White Sox over to the Orioles. This is it's a very pleasant. The Orioles and the Tigers and the Orioles again. This is a nice 10 days to stretch the old hammies out. This is good.
You know what? Okay, there's two things. Whether you're an old school baseball fan or a new age stat nerd, there's two things. One is that sometimes if you're prone to anxiety, playing really good baseball in June makes you more nervous than excited, because you know, okay, ultimately this can't last just like this.
There will be
a couple lulls between now and October.
Right.
My counter argument to that, first your first little knee jerk anxiety over this, is that they're underpowered right now. They haven't, you know, they did this without Bregman and Kyle Tucker,
mm-hmm,
and it could get a little bit better. There'll be injuries along the way, not to mention Aledmys Diaz. So there's that. On the flip side, the fact that the Astros have done so well against playoff teams, that's where usually in a normal season, in a normal season, including the Astros in 2017-2019, at various times people might say, well, they're only, you know, 10-11 versus playoff team, current playoff teams, where right now the Astros are absolutely just destroying playoff teams. They just, they can't, every now and then they let one of the playoff teams win one game in a series, but it's been just a brilliant stretch of baseball.
Since, Seth, I went back and looked at the schedule as to when this whole stretch of baseball, this really good baseball that they're playing, when it started, 17-4 over the last 21 games. The last stretch where they were playing poor baseball for a small period of time was those two San Diego games. The San Diego games that both went extra innings. The bullpen gave up literally 19 runs from the eighth inning on in two straight games. The Fernando Tatis game where he hit the three-run homer to tie the game on a Saturday, that was a game Amy and I were at, that felt like the team was sitting at the precipice of some really dicey baseball. Like that was the complete bottoming out of the bullpen, and you're going, wow, man, like they've got another game against San Diego. Then they got the Red Sox coming to town. They've got the White Sox in a couple of weeks. They got the Red Sox again. Man, this could get ugly. And instead, the complete opposite has happened. They've gone 17-4 since that game.
17-4 since that game. I guess the positive thing we were saying at that time was, hey, you're losing to these good teams by one run. Yeah. If it weren't for the bullpen, or if you could, you know, bottle up the offensive firepower that they have and get it more consistently, then there you have it. And it all just came together very well. I guess the thing that you have in stretches like this where it feels so overpowering and dominant, it's when the stars align and you have both offensive output and defense, right? I mean, that's not rocket science. That's obvious. The thing that's encouraging is that, okay, now you see that you have pitchers that can go 6 and 7 innings quite regularly. The bullpen is probably, you know, it never was as drastically bad as we feared it was, but more than anything, I think we're just being protected from the bullpen right now. Javier is being used more like a traditional reliever. Dusty Baker was as excited as Dusty Baker gets after the game last night because he can use Javier again.
Yeah.
Right. Frequently, instead, because he didn't go 3 or 4 innings.
Yep.
So yeah, this is a damn good baseball team.
Yeah.
I've tried to stat nerd my way up, down, all around it to try to not say it's a really good baseball team, but it is a really, really good baseball team.
That's how I know they're really good, because otherwise you would be somehow taking this 17-4 stretch and telling us how crappy it is. And if
I'd be taking the XB war PA,
yeah,
of relievers over the past 3 decades and showing you how rare it is to win a Super Bowl, a World Series or a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With that low in XB war PA.
That's right. All right. So we are we're off and running on a what is today? Tuesday. It's a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, June 22nd. 19 years of marriage for Brandy and I.
Today's your anniversary?
That's right, yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. 19 years. Whew. I thought I'd be dead and divorced by now.
Before
I met Brandy, of course.
Right.
When I was like 23 years old, I was like, I'll definitely be dead and divorced.
And you've managed
three times over.
Right, you've managed to overcome marital strife and the Grim Reaper. Congratulations.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a notoriously slow starter.
There you go.
That's it.
Ben, why are you trying to get him divorced on his anniversary? What are you doing? And by the way, Seth mentions June 22nd. If you're going, that date sounds familiar, it's because it's the NBA draft lottery today. We haven't had to follow it in a long, long time. But today we follow it intimately because 7 o'clock tonight we will have the NBA draft lottery special here. Me and Adam Spillane taking you through the magic and the intrigue of the NBA draft lottery. It's a big deal for the Rockets tonight. We'll certainly talk about that on the show today as well. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Seth is back today. Sticking with the Astros, are fans angry with the Astros still? Fans around baseball, there's one indicator that maybe people have moved on from the sign stealing. We'll tell you what it is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We know that everybody was angry with the Astros because of the sign stealing. This we know. So the fans have not really... Major League Baseball punished the Astros. A lot of fans around baseball got angry because they didn't feel the punishment was enough, blah, 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 blah. So the fans' chance to administer some punishment to the Astros would seemingly be in the All-Star voting. This is the first chance they've had to do that because there was no All-Star game last year. So, Seth, do we think that the fans are actually punishing the Astros because the Astros don't have anybody leading the All-Star balloting? The latest round of results of the All-Star balloting came out yesterday. There's still, I believe, 2.5 days left. I think it's Thursday afternoon. This round of voting closes, and then they go to like a runoff where the top three at each position get to go through a second phase of fan voting. So we'll see what the end result is. There are no Astros leading at their position in the All-Star balloting. However, at every single position, the Astros would qualify for phase two of the voting, which means that catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop, and DH, their representative is in the top three. And in the outfield, they've got at least one. It's Michael Brantley, who's in the top nine. The top nine outfielders are going to be put into a runoff. So is baseball softening on the Astros because they've still got a bunch of guys near the top of the voting? Or are people still mad? Because in a normal year, the Astros would probably have two or three of these guys that would be leading their positions.
I think there's a blend of factors here, Sean. Because you always have to remember, okay, we're talking percentages. So, you know, 10% here, 5% there makes a big difference. So I think there's certainly some people that are definitely laying off the Astros. But I do think also, I think that one of the reasons that the Astros are up is that Astros fans are probably... They understand the need to get out and vote and to push those guys up as much. Your five? How many are allowed per day?
Five per day. I love how we make it sound like it's a really important election.
Sean, get
out there and vote.
Just about everything in this world of ours involving humans is fake. Okay, so it's a so this is as real as anything else. Okay,
you're right. You're true.
Life is a construct.
Yep.
So, but the other thing, and this is what I'm curious about as a devoted stat nerd, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice, I should double check this, but I noticed the other day when I was voting for my Astros on the All-Star site that now they list OPS alongside batting average, which is one of those things where most people in baseball now care more about OPS than they do batting average. Yeah. I mean, they almost care about batting average none at all. But the batting average still matters to a lot of people out there voting. So just the casual fan might look at it and say, oh, okay, well, let's see. Shortstops in the American League Carlos Correa batting average is third. All right, mm-hmm. so third makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But then if you go to OPS, Carlos Correa is first by a small margin over Xander Bogaerts from Boston in OPS. You look at WAR and and Carlos is crushing it in WAR. And then defensively, Carlos is just head and shoulders above just everybody else in the AL when it comes to defensively. So yeah. I'd say the fact that Carlos is at least third and not at least second yeah. is probably signs that a lot of people are just giving him the stiff arm.
Yeah, he was fourth in the last round that came out a week or two ago, whatever it was. He's moved up to third, so we'll see what happens. But right now, Yuli is second at first base in the All-Star voting. Carlos, as we mentioned, is third at shortstop. Jose Altuve, who I think has the best chance of anybody, he's second among second basemen, and he's got over 700,000 votes, which is really, really good. Bregman is second among third basemen. Yordan and Martin are both third at their positions. Brantley is sixth among outfielders. Seth, I think ultimately they don't get anybody starting in the All-Star game, but I think they're still going to get three or four guys to the game. I think Correa and Altuve are locks to be reserves for the game, like stone yeah. cold, like lock it up now. They're going to the All-Star game. And then from there, Yuli probably deserves to go. We'll see if he gets the respect that he deserves. You know, he's a zero-time All-Star, so it's not like he's got the pelts on the wall. That might hurt. And then, you know, I think Greinke pitches tonight. You know, so some of these pitchers, you got one or two, you know, maybe three more starts before they make the selections. Framber's been unbelievable since he came back. He may just not have a big enough body of work, and Brantley missed a couple of weeks. Otherwise, Michael Brantley, All-Star guy, text in. Mea culpa. I stand corrected. The dude's batting like 8 jillion since he came back from the injury. So, you know, Brantley would be a guy that if he had played enough games, he might be getting some All-Star run too. The bottom line is, All-Star game or no All-Star game, this is a very, very deep baseball team right now with a lot of really good baseball players. So life is good.
Do they tell you the percentages of like how far ahead or behind they are or how many votes they have?
They did. You know what? In the previous round, the article that I saw had percentages. The yeah. post that Berman put up that I'm looking at just has the raw voting totals. You know, the actual number of votes that they, like, for example, Simeon leads the second baseman right now in the AL with a little over 1.1 million. Jose Altuve has 715,000 votes.
You know what's hurting us right now with Correa is that Bo Bichette has the entire nation state of Canada behind him.
Yeah.
Because he plays for the Blue Jays, but now also Buffalanto because they're playing in Buffalo there. So, I mean, there's probably all these rabid Yankees fans that have, you know, they're turncoats, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They probably switched over to the Blue Jays for one season.
Yep.
So they can get to go watch Major
League
Baseball.
Vladimir Guerrero, Marcus Simeon. Yeah, the Blue Jays are doing pretty good in this voting right now. Teoscar Hernandez, former
I know. Former I saw Teoscar the other day, and I was like, I always wished he was better with the Astros just because his name is so cool.
He's fifth among outfielders, right?
Yep.
The Blue Jays have two outfielders in the top seven, and neither of them are George Springer. Springer's 13th among – not that he deserves to be there. He's played like two games all year. But so there you go. The Astros are the Astros doing okay. Doing okay in the All-Star voting, Seth, and doing okay in the power rankings. Everybody's got the Astros in the top three in their power rankings right now.
Everything is the way it should
all
be.
All coming also, together,
like,
baby.
Jake Odorizzi was inspected twice for sticky substances last night. None.
Yeah, of course
no
not.
No sticky substances.
Yep, that's right. No cheaters on this team. That was that's right, baby.
I didn't like Angel Hernandez being a part of the examination.
No. I don't trust any of these umpires.
You know,
man.
Angel Hernandez, you know how he is. It's going to be just like his strike zone. He's going to go out, and one batter might have some genuine hair gel in his hair or something. No. He's going to be ejected. The next guy will come out, Angel Hernandez will stick his hand on his belt. He'll come away with a goop of pine tar, and that guy will get off scot-free.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the program, text or phone. Did Seth and I indirectly cause all of the Watson-related Instagram salvos from over the weekend?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. You okay? Oh, causing them?
I'm apologizing for causing all
well,
of
we'll,
it.
Well,
yeah.
We'll see. If we did, we apologize, but we'll determine whether or not we did next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The most important thing is for all of us, our coaches and players, myself included, is to focus on the things that we can control. And as we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, then we'll try to make, the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
All right, so that was from our Nick Caserio interview a week and a half or so ago. I forget when exactly it was, but we interviewed Nick Caserio at the end of OTAs, and that, of course, was him talking about the team and how they're handling Deshaun Watson internally in response to a question that Seth asked him. And that quote got a lot of run on the national media, and wondering if training camp was a time frame that is important in this whole thing. And Seth, you were out Friday and Monday, and of course, the second you leave, the Instagram salvos start going back and forth a little bit. The silence is broken with, to some degree, with these sides. So this is what I ask you, Seth. After a few days of that quote picking up some steam, people wondering if maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel with all this, Tony Busby posted an update as to where everything is right now. And really nothing new. There's no intent of settling right now, according to Busby. But I thought the interesting part was, in response to the many queries we've received about the Deshaun Watson case, and then on the heels of that, later on that night, Deshaun Watson posts a video for the first time in 3.5 months. He gets on the gram and he's posting a video of him working out as if to say, here I am right here. And the lyric in that music said, it's something to the effect of things not being over yet.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, did you indirectly cause all this?
By me leaving?
No, not by you. By asking the question that you did of Nick Caserio. Is Nick Caserio alluding to training camp? What led to Busby getting all these queries that he's talking about?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Who had the first? Who spoke first? Busby?
Busby was first. Busby late Thursday night,
yeah,
early Friday morning, said in response to the many queries we've received about the Deshaun Watson case,
yeah,
I typically don't respond to individual press calls because it's easier for me to make one statement here. As I've said, there will not be a settlement, at least anytime soon. And then he goes on to talk about all the hard work that's going on behind the scenes with this, with his 17 lawyers that are working on this.
Well, I guess I did because maybe if he was getting press inquiries, then that was because of all the fervor over all the people writing articles about Nick Caserio saying that they'll make a decision.
So I agree. Yeah.
Even though I feel most of those people that took that, I think if you listen to the tone of Nick Caserio's voice when he said it, I don't think it was meant to be as significant as everybody interpreted it to be, but that's how thirsty everybody is right now.
Hey,
so,
bingo, that's the word I was thinking of. Everybody was thirsty.
This is where I've grown increasingly skeptical that there will be settlements. Because remember, it's settlements. It's not a settlement. It's 22 individual cases. Yeah. So settlements. So now maybe there will be one or two, but I don't think there will be 22 settlements. And when lawyers talk to me, and we've got one former judge that listens to the show a lot. Mm-hmm. When they tell me about why they think that this will settle, I got to be honest with you. Most of the time they're basing it on what usually happens. And the problem is that there's nothing usual about these circumstances. There's nothing usual about either of the attorneys. There's nothing usual about the number of lawsuits against a person of great local and national fame. So there's nothing standard about what you should expect here. There are several things unique to this case that make me feel like it's definitely going the distance. One is just Tony Busby himself, who, A, as he himself has said, even though he's gone a little far in claiming that it's zero to do about the money, like, okay, this is the way the legal system works in America. If you're going to the way you get your justice on the civil side is it is about money to some degree.
By definition,
But these are relatively paltry sums. The likely settlements in these cases, even added up, might not really move the meter for Tony Busby. So, which leads you to say, like, okay, A, he might be doing it out of actual a personal conviction that he wants to stand up for these women. B, he gets the longer this goes on, the more publicity he gets for himself. So whatever is in him that enjoys getting publicity, and we know he likes getting publicity, there that is. And then there's the individual plaintiffs themselves who, have an attorney. So any of the individual plaintiffs that might feel like, no, I want the truth to be known. I want Deshaun Watson to pay as much as he can in terms of embarrassment, not just money. I'm going to take this thing the distance. Those women have an attorney who's not looking for a quick buck, and he'll be glad to sit and ride this wave on until the end for whatever his motivations are. So I think Deshaun would most likely be willing to settle before Busby would here.
Yeah, we had several people comment about the video that Deshaun put up over the weekend yesterday, Seth, that the sentiment was that's not a video, nor is that a chess move, I guess, if you want to call posting something on Instagram a chess move, I suppose, of somebody who would appear to be planning on not playing in 2021. You know, that is the maneuver of somebody in the content of somebody who appears to be ready to start playing football at some point.
Yeah, soon. I mean, that might be his judgment on the situation, but this is also the guy that thought it was a good idea to see about 50 massage therapists and that everything would go swimmingly having what he claims are consensual prostitution events, basically.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Or is that his legal team has claimed are consensual.
Yeah. The NFL has not spoken with Deshaun yet. I don't find that surprising at all. Because I think they're going to talk to everybody else before they talk to Deshaun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
they're going to go into their meeting with Deshaun saying, okay, we talked to this person, we talked to this person. And Deshaun's going to have to either corroborate or refute what these people all say.
Deshaun's going to have to corroborate or refute when, let's remember, many of these women, he didn't remember had even given him a massage previously when he reached out to them again later, several weeks later. He got a massage, and then a few weeks later, be like, hey, do you do athletes? I did you three weeks ago.
Right. And it
remember
was not
that
fun.
Time?
Yeah. It was not fun.
Remember you and your tiny towel?
Yeah. Yep. So that's where we are right now with that. So we had the two Instagram posts over the weekend, Tony Busby and Deshaun Watson. Seth, I wanted to run this by you. Cecil and I dug into this yesterday, and I had a Miami Dolphins reporter on my CBS show on Sunday. Wanted to have them on to talk about the Tua Tagovailoa minicamp performance, the five interception minicamp performance, just to talk to somebody who had eyes on it as opposed to looking at a lot of Twitter speculation about it. So his name is Alan Poupard. He is the publisher of All Dolphins on SI.com, sort of the Dolphins corner of the Sports Illustrated universe there.
Also starred in the A-Team, right?
What's it? Alan Poupard? I don't know.
That was George Poupard.
He's got a great French-Canadian accent, though, as you'll hear momentarily. But he brought up, when I brought up Tua, he said, yeah, the five-interception performance was really bad. People were talking about a monsoon. And it was not raining during any of the five interceptions. Yes, it was raining earlier in the day, but not while Tua was throwing picks. He was abjectly terrible that day. But he said something interesting about anytime the Deshaun Watson trade rumors get brought up, there is a faction of Tua fans that see it as disrespectful to Tua, that Tua should be given an opportunity. And I said, wow, so what you're telling me is The Watson trade possibility is causing a divide in the fan base, and here's what he said.
Oh, no question. Those people are at odds with each other. Absolutely no question about it. And part of the issue is that the big Tua fans see any talk of bringing in Watson as disrespect for, toward Tua, instead of looking at it as the possibility of picking up a 25-year-old franchise quarterback.
Okay, so there was that, and so I said, huh, okay, so there's a divide between the fan base. So then I casually ask a question expecting an answer that I did not get. I was expecting a certain answer, and I got a different answer. I asked him, which faction of fans, Team Tua or Team Trade for Deshaun, is the bigger faction?
It's pretty soundly in favor of Tua as the guy for the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. And again, this is me, as you mentioned, it's not scientific. This is me
going
by what I gauge, what I see on Twitter, on Facebook. I think it's a pretty decisive margin as well.
Okay,
I wonder, does Tua get the same kind of, like to a lesser degree, but there's a little bit of a Tim Tebow element there?
I knew that's who you were going to say. That's who you were going to say. So the answer is, I guess if it's in the back of my mind, then the answer must be yes.
Yeah, I guess so, right? No, I mean, and he is, especially given what Deshaun is going through right now.
Yeah.
Tua is kind of this innocent kid. I mean, I don't know. Tua, it wouldn't surprise me if Tua said he was a virgin, except I don't think he's like as publicity oriented as Tim Tebow is. And he doesn't have the physique to run around shirtless in the rain like Tebow.
He does not have that, but his faith is very public. From that standpoint. Okay, well, so it's interesting you say that. Like that given what Deshaun, the quagmire he finds himself in right now, and what Tua represents, I guess both as a player and maybe as a person to some people, you go, yeah, that's logical that people would be backing Tua. I asked the follow-up question of Alan Poupard, Seth. Was it this way before Deshaun got into this legal trouble? Because surely, with no legal trouble, Deshaun would be the preference over Tua Tagovailoa. Here's what he said.
It might have made the margin a little more pronounced, but it was always there from the start that there was more support for Tua than there was an appetite to make that kind of trade. And again, it goes back to a lot of what you hear is, look what he did at Alabama. He only had 1 year. And again, no offseason last year, coming back from the hip injury. Look at the talent he had to play with last year. Give the kid a shot. He's going to be the guy. That was always there, and that was always more prevalent. And then when Watson's legal situation materialized, then it just, again, made the margin even more pronounced.
I was shocked. I was shocked that it's been that way all too, according to this one reporter, that it's been Team Tua all along.
Right. Well, I think for one, you got to remember too, in Miami, they were trying to supposedly tank for Tua forever. And then fate intervened and the Dolphins won more games than they should have, but Tua also got injured. But I also think there are very easy counter arguments to any of Tua's negatives, including like his inability or unwillingness to push the ball downfield last year. You could say, all right, hey, you know what? I mean, he was asked to be quick and fast with his releases in college, and he was coming to the league not feeling physically right because of his injury, and he's also a very conscientious kid who doesn't want to turn the ball over. So it's a matter of getting him to be a little bit more reckless, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And so I could see all of that. Tua at Alabama was not the driving force that Deshaun was at Clemson.
No.
And yet it was Tua at Alabama, and he's name brand. I'm just thinking that the average, like, maybe sports radio listener or fantasy football player or somebody who's really tuned in probably just strictly for football reasons definitely prefers Deshaun. I think maybe the casual fan, the kind of people that were still stumping for Tim Tebow in Denver instead of Peyton Manning, like, that casual fan might still, so the majority of fans, I suppose, not people listening to sports radio or what have you, might still prefer Tua. Is it like even before all the controversy?
Let me ask you this. As a Texan fan, let's pretend for a second that the Deshaun situation clears itself up enough to where the Dolphins follow through on what a lot of people think. I think a lot of people think that the Dolphins would want to make a trade for Deshaun. So let's pretend that Deshaun's legal situation with both the league, the civil lawsuits, and I'll throw the police in there as well, that everything gets cleared up enough to where Deshaun can be traded for a reasonable package with the Dolphins. Would you want Tua as part of that package as a Texan fan, or would you rather have the intrigue of drafting a quarterback with a top five pick next year?
Okay, I'd rather have the intrigue of a quarterback with a top five pick.
Is it because of Tua or because of the intrigue of the top five pick?
Well, it's the either or there that hurts me. If they hadn't drafted Davis Mills, and I'd love to get a look at Tua up close. Now, I wouldn't want it to be obviously a straight up trade or anything. I'd love for it to be, but then I'm saying, okay, well, you can't take on Tua and get a look at him because you just drafted Davis Mills. That's the pickle we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
I would be unopposed to taking on Tua Tagovailoa as long as they were also willing to take another guy. Like, and I'm in the minority. I don't care how many stabs they take a quarterback until they find a replacement for Deshaun Watson, unless they can also figure out a way to keep Deshaun Watson.
I'm more intrigued and I would be more excited about a quarterback in the 2022 draft, even though there's really not one that's presenting himself right now as the guy. Yeah. But one or two will. They always do. I'm fine with Tua being part of a trade with the Dolphins, Seth, as long as it doesn't mean that Nick Caserio has been sold on Tua as the equivalent of a first-round pick in that trade.
Well,
you know what
that's the problem. That's the huge problem. Think about Josh Rosen being traded away. Mm-hmm. Josh Rosen gets drafted in the first round. Other teams likely thought that Josh Rosen was worth a first-round pick, but once his team has a year with him and decides, this is not the guy. That tells you all you need to know. Teams don't let promising quarterbacks out of their grasp unless it was a situation like in Atlanta where the head coach hated the quarterback and the quarterback was trying to drink the entire city of Atlanta's supply of alcohol.
Brett Favre,
he was trying to drink it all up. He couldn't get enough. He went from bar to bar siphoning off all the alcohol.
Yep.
And then he got himself straight up in Green Bay.
That's right. Yeah, kids, you may not know this, but Brett Favre did not start his career in Green Bay. Back in the early 90s, he was an Atlanta Falcon indeed.
Let me tell you a story about a little fella named Jerry Glanville for some reason despised Brett Favre.
He would drive anybody to drink, I would say. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, 713-572-4610. Back to the Astros for a minute. We're getting some texts from some people. The previous segment, Seth and I were wondering, based on the results, current results of the All-Star voting, are people more in on the Astros now? Are they lightening up? Are they easing up on the sign stealing vitriol? Or because there are no Astros leading at their position, does it mean there's still some anger out there? And by the way, the Astros, they're not leading at any of their positions in the All-Star voting, but they are in the top three at every position. So there is some backing for the Astros out there. Wheatstraw texts in, Seth. He said, I feel it's easing up as long as you're not reading any comments section of any online platform.
Right. If you go to the comments section anywhere, you're going to see the same 10 jokes, wash, rinse, repeat, something about trash cans and what have you, and buzzers. And that's the more frustrating thing than anything is just the repetitiveness of the jokes. If I see a genuinely good Astros cheating scandal joke, I give it a genuine laugh.
Okay.
But we have to see all of these ones all the time. I don't think – let me ask you, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Has the booing eased up a lot, or has AT&T Sports just gotten better at drowning out the booing?
Muffling it? I don't know.
We need to ask Blum, because it doesn't seem nearly as persistent. Now, you still hear F. Altuve chants at various Boston sporting events, like not even just baseball events. So I think it has eased off. I think the Astros being as good as they are right now maybe has something to do with that.
That's 100% it. If booing is what you do, then clearly all it's doing is fueling the Astros right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, what would Oral Hershiser say? Could he use his stupid little joke again where it's not knowing is harder than knowing?
Yeah.
It's a lot harder when you don't know what's coming.
That's
the joke that's one of the 10 jokes that's kind of been retired, at least for the moment. Because, and Sean, this is what bothers me. So some announcer from the White Sox basically said he said that Brantley laid off a hanging slider and hung off a slider, not a hanging slider. Laid off a slider, and then Gurriel laid off a slider, and then he said makes you wonder.
Yeah, and then Jordan hit a slider for the game-winning hit for a walk-off.
And then this guy explained himself, and he said, well, all I was saying was, why did they continue cheating for as long as they did when they obviously didn't have to? Okay, two things about that. One is, no, that's not what you're saying. Two is, they didn't cheat all that long.
No.
They cheated for a couple of months in 2017. The front office kept trying to do it in 2018 for a little while, but it was only a couple months. But this is the tragic irony of all of it, Sean. If the Astros had just regressed to being like an average hitting baseball team by 2019, this investigation wouldn't have happened.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, you got all these people around baseball saying like, wow, looks like the Astros are actually pretty good at batting. Yeah, they were in 2019, and pitchers thought that they must still be cheating because they were hitting the way they are right now. So Fires goes public, the investigation happens, all of that stuff happened because the Astros were so good in 2019 that they had to go back and investigate the previous 3 years.
Do you think so? Look, Fires ratting them out was the trigger event in this whole thing. So you think if they weren't as good as they were in 2019, Fires doesn't go to the Athletic and say they cheated in 2017?
Not a chance in hell. Or even if he did, I don't think it would have caught fire the way it did.
Really?
Sean, think about it. I mean, because other teams have done this, but the Astros won a World Series. And I remember talking to people at the time while the investigation was going on, people that covered baseball and what have you. And all the rumors, Sean, you got to remember the rumors and the fuel that leads to stuff like this is that pitchers talk to each other, other pitchers hear stuff, and it can't possibly be good. It couldn't possibly be that the Astros are just that good.
Yeah.
And then Fires comes out and says, well, here's what they were doing in 2017. And then bam. I don't think if people talk to people in 2019, then maybe it becomes a story or a footnote or something. But there wouldn't have been all of the abject outrage that really pushed everything along. Mm. Then you add to that the fact that everybody hated Jeff Luhnow, and it was the perfect storm. So yeah, the Astros botched it. If you weren't going to win a World Series,
awesome.
You should have just sucked completely in 2019.
They botched it by being awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ocho says, Seth, I'm with you. If it's a funny Astros joke, I'll laugh. Hell, I think the Yankees fans chanting is legendary, especially the F. Altuve and F. your birthday chants.
Because the Yankees' social media account tweeted out. Oh, he tweeted out that it was they wished him a happy Father's Day too.
who did
the Yankees'
wish?
Social media account said happy Father's Day, Jose Altuve?
They did.
Yes.
Nice of him.
I don't know if that's because he's their daddy, or he's Aroldis Chapman's daddy,
yeah, I don't know.
Or if it's because they think they're Altuve's daddy because he didn't do that well in the last series. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Text message, this is about Tua. I would love to see Tua up close, but would really, really look at Malik Willis from Liberty. That's the exact person I was thinking of. Seth and I did a segment about him last week. There's just, it's the unknown. It's like relationships in some ways. Like, I've seen what I need out of Tua. I need something new. I need something saucy.
Yeah, there's something to Tua, too, where it's all it's the stuff that works at a big-time, awesome college football program, but just like with Tebow, when you get to the NFL, you realize, he's actually not that athletic. All right?
Right.
Okay, he's athletic, but he's not, by NFL standards, he's not that athletic. Right. Where some of the other guys that are out there that are so enticing, that have truly blistering speed or athleticism or what have you, or an electric arm, or just like pretty much every tool like Malik Willis does, then that gets a lot more intriguing.
All right, two signs of massive progress in the world of sports came yesterday. We'll tell you what they are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.